The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I'm dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you who have been faithful with the dishonest wealth, if you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God the Creator in Christ Jesus. Amen. A rich landowner tells his unsatisfactory manager that he's going to fire him. We don't know how long the employee had to clear out his desk, but apparently it was long enough to make some arrangements with key friends and to win them over and to influence the people who had accounts with his boss. The manager called them in one by one and reduced their debt. And when the landowner, his boss, heard about it, for some reason, he didn't call his lawyer, but he sat back and laughed with admiration. Okay, so how could Jesus tell a story in which the main character is a crook? Why did the boss in this story commend the dishonest manager? We confess that this is a difficult parable. Dr. Audrey West is a former professor of theology at the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago. And she described the parable as a story about something ordinary with a surprise or a twist that leads the listeners to experience reality in a new way. The purpose of the parable. A new way that may even transform our daily living. So the surprise in this parable is not the self-serving action of the manager. We know that story all too well. The surprise is the boss showing mercy. Despite the clear guilt of the manager, the landowner shows mercy. And we're reminded. We're reminded of the landowner in another parable who pays a full day's wage to the farm workers who spent less than an hour in the vineyard. And we're reminded of another parable of the father running out to welcome a shamed and destitute long-lost son. We're reminded in the parable of the shepherd who leaves the 99 to go after the one lost sheep. And in each case, it's a surprise ending. In each case, somehow the key figure, the landowners, the father, the shepherd, they show mercy. And in so doing, they teach us something about God. In God's economy, people matter more than profits. Jesus teaches that when the world and its values fail, God will still receive us. So, friends in Christ, remain faithful. And be as shrewd in doing good as others are in doing evil. But Jesus doesn't let us off the hook with just a simple affirmation that God is merciful. He comes to the end of the parable and teaches us something of the Christian use of money. Jesus teaches, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth. And we wish he would have left that out. Dr. Mark Allen Powell, Trinity Seminary, offers a provocative image of the way Christians too often separate their finances from their faith. In his text, Giving to God, the Bible's Good News about Living a Generous Life, he tells a story, and he confesses from the outset the story may or may not be historically accurate, but it's a good story nonetheless. He tells a story of the ancient warriors in Gaul. And a time came when they were being converted to Christianity. As missionaries dunked these warriors under the water, they would hold their sword arm high in the air above the water. When the next battle or skirmish broke out, the warrior Gaul would proclaim, "This arm is not baptized." And he would take up his sword or his club or his axe and ride off to destroy the enemy in the most unchristian-like manner. So Dr. Powell embraces that little illustration with the assertion that many contemporary Christians live as if they hold their wallet or their purse, their money, above the water in the concept of baptism, in the sacrament of the washing. Our biblical witness commands us, seriously, to tithe. To take 10% and give it away. It's considered a command, not a suggestion. But perhaps we hold that financial resource up and out of our baptismal calling. Friends in Christ, we are right to perceive that the rich man, the landowner in Jesus' parable, is addressing us as well. Give an account of your management, people of God. Give an account of your stewardship of what you've been given. And when we consider our individual calendars and our household budgets in that reckoning, whom do we see our time and our money serving? We're entrusted with those resources, our treasures, our time, the environment on this Climate Action Weekend, our bodies, all of these good gifts that we've been given. And have we been faithful or dishonest in our stewardship? In the spirit of the prodigal son, What have we squandered? What have we wasted? The landowner, this parable's proxy for God, is in the end merciful. And therein lies our salvation. But Jesus still reminds us that we cannot serve God and money. St. Francis of Assisi put it this way. Remember that when you leave this earth, you can take with you nothing you have received, but only what you have given. A full heart, enriched by honest service, love, sacrifice, and courage. Jesus teaches in his parable a right relationship. For faithfulness to God results in a relationship with everything that we've been given. All of our stuff, all of our time, all of our engagement. We proclaim a gospel that sees everything we have as gift and calls us to use this gift to love and serve others. In Christ's name, amen. I invite you to stand in song.